good to be with you this evening and to share a little bit with you about the country of Romania and to tell you, catch up with you and let you know what's been happening in the last 4 years. I was just thinking about it while I was sitting there. You might have, on the video or presentation, you might have noticed there was a young man called Nico that I have been working with for the last 5 years. Just before we came over to Australia the last time, which was about 4 years ago, I took Nico out for dinner one time, and I said, "What do you want for the future? What do you want to do for the future?" And he said, "Well, I want to be trained to be a pastor. I believe that God has called me to be a pastor, and I want to be trained for that." And I said, "Well, that's very good. I'm here to help you." He came to me some 5.5 years ago and started Bible Institute with us. And I started to train him then with the other men that we had coming along. And I said, "So that's very good. I'm very pleased about that. And I'm going to help you to for the future, for the Lord to use you. And is anything else?" And he said, "Yes, one more thing. I want to marry your daughter." Okay. So he started off as a young man in training to... for the ministry, and I said, "Wait a little while," and he waited, and after that a period of time, he's now married to Caitlin as of the 8th of September, okay? Just to fill you in a little bit on the background. I'm sorry Danny couldn't be with us this time, but someone has to stay back there and hold the fort and help with the work that's going on over there. Danny is very much involved in the youth ministry there. I think we had 12 young people at youth, I heard on Friday night, which mightn't sound like a lot to you. But for a little church that's just getting off the ground and some young people that have just been saved recently, I'm very, very encouraged because we have to go and find these young people. Some of them have been saved through the camp ministry. And now there's other young people in the area, in the apartment blocks, that have started to come across. They've seen, they have a bit of games outdoor, maybe volleyball or something like that. And then they have a Bible study on a Friday night. And some of these young people have been attracted in that way. And they've come in and now they're listening to the sound of the gospel. And we're really very encouraged about that. If you'd open your Bible with me to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. I want to read verses 1 to 20 to you tonight. I'd like to also send a greeting to you from our church in Moldovano, Romania. The name of our church is Vestia Bună. And Vestia Bună means good news. We don't use the Good News Bible. You understand that now? Okay, but the good news, or the word we translated that from, is Veste Bună means good news, or Evangelia, which is the word for gospel in the Romanian language, okay? So that's where we got that from. The God, in the book of Isaiah, it says there, where God hath anointed me to preach the good news, okay? And that's where we took our the name for our church. And that's what the people of Romania need. They are very religious people, and we need to break through the barrier. And we don't break through the barrier. The Lord breaks through the barrier by His Spirit, and many young people have been saved, and we're very thankful for that. So if you have your Bible in Exodus chapter 14, I'd like you to stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. In Romania, when we have a Bible reading, everybody stands, okay? It's just something we always do. If that's not what you normally do, I'm sorry, you're in Romania tonight, okay? So if you'd stand, okay? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Behaharoth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, and the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this? that we have let Israel go from serving us. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them, and camping by the sea, beside Behaharoth, before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear you not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But thou lift up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground, through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed, and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face, and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless his word. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you will bless us tonight. We ask that we may learn something from your word and our time together. And we thank you in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to thank you for your support in the ministry from your church here, for the prayers that you offer up on our behalf before the throne of grace. We are really very thankful for this. You know, I think many times we think, oh, we'll pray for someone, and we don't realize the importance of it. And when you are before the throne of grace on our behalf, we really appreciate it. We will only learn about these things when we get to the heavenly places and realize the importance of prayer. Many times you don't know what's happening to us, but God knows, and when others go before the throne of grace on our behalf, I'm sure the Lord listens. He turns his ear to them, the prayers of the saints, and he answers your prayer. So I'd like to thank you for doing that for us. Here in our text tonight, I want to look at some things in the text that we will see. And firstly, we notice in verse 1 that it is the Lord who spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Behaharoth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. So we see here, the Lord is the one who is directing his people. We notice also that God is going to lead his people through Moses. Moses is the chosen one to lead the children of Israel, and God directs through the leader whom he has chosen. We notice many things in the life of Moses, but one thing that we notice, that he's never called the later Moses. He's always called Moses, my servant, or Moses, the servant of the Lord. And God has a plan for his people, and we better take note of the plan that he has for his people. Moses, first and foremost, was a great follower before he became a leader. And if you want to do something for God, you better learn to follow. After some years, when young Joshua had watched Moses as he led the children of Israel through the desert, and when Joshua had done his apprenticeship for 40 years, God then chose him to lead the children of Israel. But God wants someone to follow before he can lead. In verses 2 and 3, we notice that God places his people, the chosen nation of Israel, in the exact place he wants them to be. He says here in verses 2 to 3, camp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. In this position, chosen by God, it was a peninsula, a small outcrop of hills were on each side. There was no way to escape, and God chose them to encamp right before the Red Sea. And many times in our life, we don't understand, what is God doing to us? Why does he bring us to a difficult place? And many times we try to escape, and God's saying, I want you here. When I got to Romania in 2005, I found it very difficult there. When I first arrived, I tried to learn a little bit of the language before I went there. We had a lady that was helping us with the language. But when I went there, I noticed that the people didn't speak textbook Romanian, okay? And they spoke at 100 miles an hour, okay? So I didn't know what was going on, and I found it difficult. And I said to the Lord, Lord, why did you bring me to this difficult place? It's very hard. How am I going to do anything here? And sometimes in your life and in my life, the Lord will put you in a position that looks difficult. There's a problem in front. Just like the children of Israel, they were entrapped there in the land. The Red Sea before them, an obstacle before them, a big obstacle. And sometimes God wants to do that with your life for you to learn to trust him. When I got there, the first couple of years was really difficult, and I had to learn to trust God. We know about it, we preach about it, we learn about it, but now it had to be put into action, if you understand what I mean. I said, Lord, how am I going to learn the language? How am I going to communicate with the people? And slowly, slowly, as I learned to trust him, he started to give us ears to understand the language. First, we could hear the language. Every couple of days, we went out and we'd pick up another word. Now, somebody would say about 400 words, and you pick up three or four. And I was very encouraged. And the next day, after a few more days, you go out there and you pick up a bit, some extra words here and there. And slowly, 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 God started to open up our understanding for the language. So here we see that the children of Israel are put in the place where God wants them to be. Before, in this outcrop, before the Red Sea. And we notice here, God is not caught out. God is never caught out. God is never surprised. Because he tells Moses here, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. Many times you go in your life and you think, oh Lord, I'm stuck in a hard place and you don't know. Lord, what will I do here? How will I get out of this position? And God wants you to learn to trust him. And the more you trust, and you learn to trust in him, the more he will give to you. Now, we read verses from the Bible and says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's only when you walk a little, and you get to that place where he wants you to be, that he gives you more light. He uncovers things for you as you learn to trust him, as you learn to walk with him. And we've seen the hand of the Lord moving in the country of Romania in the last years. We've seen that every time we stepped out in faith, God was there. I remember a few years ago when we moved into the little apartment block you noticed here. And as soon as we got in there, we said, this apartment, praise the Lord, we've got this apartment. We've got somewhere to start for the church. And some of the people said, and Nico said, let's pray for a bigger building. This isn't big enough. What happens if some more people want to come to church? We don't have enough room. So we started to pray for a bigger building. And you know what? I was frightened. I said, I don't have any money. I didn't have 1 cent, okay? And I said, okay, we'll pray, Nico. Okay, I hear you. We'll pray on a Wednesday night. And we started to pray. And you know God heard them prayers. And you know, it was an encouragement for the people there to see that God was listening to their prayers and things started to happen. We had a lady that you might have noticed in our presentation. She's quite a big lady. I don't know if you noticed her. You didn't notice her? Okay. Well, she's a big lady, okay? Her name is Yasna, okay? She'd be about 220 kilos or thereabouts, okay? And she'd been praying for her husband for 10 years and say, my husband, he's heard the gospel many times, but he's not saved. He'll be coming down from the place, the city he's working in, and he'll be coming down to spend the weekend with us. And every time Addy, his name is Adrian, correctly, but they call him Addy. It's quite a common name in Romania. He would come down for the weekend. He'd hear the preaching of the gospel at church. And we started praying for Addy to get saved. And after a period of time, a few months, it was winter time and Addy couldn't work because he works in construction, doing, concrete work for canal, is it? Next to where the water flows away at the side of the road to take the water away from the main roads. He works at that, and he couldn't work anymore because the concrete wouldn't go off, it wouldn't set, and he had a few weeks off. And we brought him down to our church in Moldova Noua, and he heard the word of God there, and we took him to a little conference. And after we came back from the conference, he rang up Nico, and he wanted to talk to Nico and I about salvation, about getting saved. And we went there that night. I can remember going to his house at night. We took a tract along with us, of course, the Bible. And we opened up the Word of God. And we spent about 2.5 hours. We don't do this easy believism thing. We went through it slowly, slowly. I want people to understand what they're doing. When someone makes a commitment, I want them to know what they're getting in for. So we went through it slowly, slowly. And there was tears of joy in that house that night. When Addy got saved and his wife was crying and hugging him, she'd been praying for him for 10 years, and all of a sudden, her husband was saved. And they started to see the hand of God was moving. So I want to encourage you, when you're in the will of God, don't try and run away. The children of Israel were put in this position by God. And God may put you in a position you think, Lord, it's too hard. Lord, I can't do it. You know what? God didn't intend for you to do it alone. Nobody intended for you to do it and say, God, if you will be with me, I will go on to the next level. If you will be with me, I will trust you with my life. And Lord, can you show me and lead me? And so here we see the children of Israel encamped here before the Red Sea, an outcrop of rocky hills to the sides. Pharaoh thought, well, I've got them in the place where I want them. And many times the devil's like that. He thinks he's got you trapped, but God is still in control. God is working in the background. So here we see the children of Israel there, and God has got them where he wants them to be. He wants to test their faith. We knew that when they were in Egypt, that God had sent all the plagues. He had turned the water into blood. He had sent the frogs and the lice, and he had made darkness there over the land of Egypt, except in where the Israelites were. He had made darkness over that land. He showed that he was in control. He showed that he was the living God. And Israel, as a people, had sat back and watched all these great and wonderful signs from the Lord. But now it was their turn to learn to trust in God. They stepped out in faith and they walked out from that land of Egypt and they'd gone into the desert and God brought them to their first test. God wants you and I to step to another level in faith. I believe that. Every time we step out in faith, God is there to meet us. Every time we say, Lord, I trust you, you know, as you walk with Him, He opens the way up before you. And this is what Israel had to learn. They had to say, Lord, we're going to trust you. I want you to be our God. And they had to learn this lesson. So Moses was prepared beforehand. God had spoken to him and said, when Pharaoh sees you guys in camp there, he's going to think that you're stuck, you use no way out, and that's just exactly what I want him to think. So we see here, the Egyptians tried to follow after Israel. And it says here in verse 4, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? But we know the story of Pharaoh, that Moses and Aaron had gone to Pharaoh to see him many times and he had many opportunities. And when they said, let my people go, and Pharaoh said, okay, you can go. And then when they went to go, he would say, no, I've changed my mind. You can't go now. And God had given many opportunities to Pharaoh. So he said, okay, I've given you many opportunities. Now I'm going to hold you to your word. So we see that God had prepared the heart of Pharaoh, and they were wanting to catch up with Israel because their land had been destroyed. They wanted to go after Israel and defeat them. So here we see in the text here in verse 6, and he made ready his chariot, and he took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots, and the chariots of Egypt, and the captains over every one of them. So Pharaoh got really serious, and he chose the elite force, the 600 chariots, the elite force. And he also took all the other chariots and all the soldiers. Now, the elite force of these special chariots were 600 drivers, or do you call them drivers, for the chariots. And each chariot would also have a man with a spear, a soldier on board. And the other one, these were the elite force. And they thought, we will go after Israel. And it also says in the text that he took all the chariots and the soldiers, all the captains from Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And it tells us in verse 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them, and the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. So here we see the first test. Many times in life, we might think, oh, the enemy is coming, the devil is coming, the devil's not happy. He's not happy about that we're marching forward for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants to stop you. But don't forget, God is with you. God is with you. And here we see here that they cried, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They made a really good start. They saw the Egyptians were coming after them, and they cried out, and they said, Lord, we need a help here. Lord, we're here, we're encamped, we're trapped in the land, and Lord, we need you to help us. It was a very good start. But then they changed their mind. Just human nature. We see in verse 11, and they cried unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt. Thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Aren't people funny? Aren't people strange? When a little bit of pressure comes along, they take their eyes off the Lord And they say, now who can we blame? God's brought us into this place. He wants us to trust Him. But we'll trust Him to a certain extent. But who can we blame? And who better to attack than Pastor Moses? They turned around and said, Moses, it was your fault. I mean, we're back there in Egypt. We all had houses to live in. Everybody had a job with good conditions. Melons and garlics laid on. Everything was great and fantastic. And they looked back and they thought, life was better then. Isn't it strange? We look back and we say, in the good old days, it was good. But some things about the good old days were not so good. And they turned on Pastor Moses and they whinged and complained against him. And they blamed him for the trouble. But God wants them. God put them in that position, not Moses. And I've noticed in the last years when we've been in Romania that God has put us in a position and He wants us to trust Him. And the more we've trusted Him, the more He's opened up the way before Him. Now, when we started praying for a bigger building in Moldova Nova, I didn't think we'd get it. I didn't know how we'd get it. We had no funds. So we started to pray. And every week the people would come and say, let's pray for a bigger building. We've seen Addy being saved. We've seen all the young people being saved at the camp. And we believe that God is with us and God wants to work and He wants to do something. But we need a bigger building for all the new people that are going to come to church. So they started praying. And this year, we started to hear some messages back from Australia that some of the churches were interested in helping us to do this. And we started praying, and the Lord brought us to this place, and we got this pizza shop. Pizza. Okay, we went out there one day, and Ed mentioned on the presentation, we're out there, we're walking around town one day, a little bit discouraged. I'd made a deal with the guy to buy his building beforehand, and we'd set a price, and then when it came to me actually entering the negotiations with him, he went and looked into the local mayor's office, if you like, and he found out that he hadn't paid his taxes on the building for about 10 years. And he said, I will sell you the building if you give me another 5,000 euros. And I said, no deal. Okay, we negotiated, we set a price, and now you want another 5,000 euro dollars? We said, no, we won't be in this. And we went away and we were discouraged and we're walking around and we said, Lord, this looks like a nice place. This would be perfect for a church. And we told the people and we started praying. And one day the neighbor across the road from where Danny and Steph lives, he came and he said to me, have you thought about the pizza shop in town? And I said, yeah, we had thought about the pizza shop in town. He said, I think it'd be a good building for a church. And I said, well, leave it for a while. I was quietly trusting on the Lord, but I was a bit reserved. So I said, okay, we'll leave it for a while. And we left it for a few months, and he came back to me and he said, what about that pizza shop? You haven't done anything about the pizza shop. And I said, I'll tell you what, can you get the phone number from the bank? That had been the people hadn't paid their loan on the shop and they lost the building and the bank reclaimed it, what do you call it? Repossessed it, that's the word. And we had to phone the bank. And I said, his name's Moses too. I said, Moses, phone up the bank and offer them this price. I'm not paying any more money than that. So I offered a really low price. So Moses, he phoned them up. He was on the telephone and he told them the price we offered. And they said, no, we're not interested. Goodbye. And he put the phone down. I said, okay, well, we'll just leave it at that. No chance. And I went home. In a couple of hours, he phoned me back. He said, the bank phoned me back up again. They said they're happy and they're taking the price. Okay. And I was so thankful that God, we just said, Lord, this is the price we wanted for. We're not prepared to pay any more for it than this. And will you do that? Will you do something? And God listened to our prayers and He answered. It was all a matter of trust. And as you step out in faith, God will meet you. And I have had to learn in the last 7 years to trust Him more and more. Not just with the language, but with other things in my life. I had to say to Him, Lord, You've brought us here, and You can do it. You called me, and Lord, it's up to You. There's a verse in the Bible in Psalm 32, verse 8, it says, I will teach you in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And I said, Lord, I'm trusting You. You said You would instruct me, that You would guide me with Your eye. Lord, I want to learn to trust You. I want to. So here we see the children of Israel. They started off good. They called out to God. God, can You help us? Then they got the old man, got up inside them, and they said, Moses, it's all your fault. And then we see here, where they said in verse 12, is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? Life wasn't so good back there, was it? God had showed them many wonderful powers, and He opened up the road before them. And they said, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Many times in life we rush in there and we're too quick. Well, God wants us to just wait on Him. God wants us just to be still and know that I am God. He just wants us to be still. And He wants to teach us a few things. So we see here, and He said unto the children of Israel, the God will show you today, for the Egyptians that whom you see, you have seen today, you will see them again no more forever. Moses takes control and he says, don't fear. We have God with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? But many times we don't do that, do we? We see with the eye, we get frightened, and we say, we have a great God. We have a great God. And God says, lean on me. Trust me. I'll show you great and wondrous things every day if you come to me, if you put your trust in me. And we're trying to do that in Romania. We're trying to say, Lord, it's your work. I always think, people say, oh, Brother Billy planted the church. God planted the church. And praise the Lord, He used someone like me to be involved in His work. And we're really so thankful for that. And every time that we've stepped out, He's always been there. In camp last year, we saw many young people come forward and get saved. This year, it was very quiet. We had 6 young people came forward at senior camp. No one at junior camp. 6 came forward at senior camp. 3 for assurance of salvation. It's a big problem there in Romania. Loss of salvation. All around the country, they preach this. All the churches preach is that you can lose your salvation. So these young people wanted assurance of salvation. And of course, to give assurance of salvation, we had to be sure that they were saved. We don't give assurance of the salvation if we're not sure that they're saved. And the other 3 young people that did come forward, 3 of them called on the Lord to save them. So we've seen the Lord working in the hearts of these people in the country of Romania. And it tells us here in the text, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Many times we like to get in there, we like to be busy, we like to do things, and God says, stand back. Wait on me. We're to learn not to run in front of Him, not to lag behind Him, that we need to walk with Him. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now it doesn't tell us in the text here, but if the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Moses, when he had all these people complaining against him, I'm sure he must have offered up a prayer. Lord, what do I do? Moses must have said, Lord, I got all these Israelites complaining. What do I do? How do I do it? What are I supposed to do now? They're all complaining. We've got an obstacle here in front. The Egyptians are coming behind. I've got a problem here. And what does the Lord say unto Moses? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. You know, God wants us to go forward this year. God wants us to go forward in faith and to step to another level. He wants us to grow in faith. You know, faith, we know that it's a believing word. Is that correct? But it's also an action word. Is that correct? Faith in action. The world says to me, you're a Christian? Show me. They can't see inside your heart. They're saying, show me your faith in action. So Moses said, offered up the prayer, and the Lord said, you tell the children of Israel that they go forward. We have an emblem here in Australia. The national emblem for Australia has got two animals on it. Can you remember what they are? Kangaroo and an emu. Okay, we don't have emus or kangaroos in Australia or in Romania, okay? They've seen pictures of them, but we don't have any. And one thing you know about these two animals? What's something unique about these two animals? They can't go backwards. And I like that. God wants you to go forward. God wants me in faith to go forward. We don't go backwards. You know what Egypt represents in the Bible? Is the world, isn't it? God wants us to come out of Egypt, to burn all the bridges, no way back. And He wants us to keep going forward and to grow in faith and to learn to trust Him more and more. And the children of Israel were having to put this faith that they said they had in God, that when God that did all the miracles, that God had turned the water into blood, that when they saw all these things, and in Goshen it was light, and in the other parts of Egypt it was dark, God said, show me your faith in action. See that the children of Israel go forward. You know what happens if you stop in your Christian walk? What happens? You get bogged down. No one can stop their Christian walk and say, look, I've reached the plateau here. I'm pretty happy here. You know what happens if you stop? You go backwards. And the devil will see to that. He'll push you back. But God wants us to go forward and to learn to trust Him. So we see here in verses 16 to 19 that Pharaoh and his army will follow, and God will use the situation to bring glory unto Him. So we see here that the Lord says unto Moses, but lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, we know about all this criticism of the Bible, but we see here, it wasn't the Reed Sea, it wasn't swampy land, they went through on dry ground. God, as the children of Israel stepped into that sea, God opened up the sea before them as they stepped out in faith. And God protected His people. And it tells us in verses 18, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. We see the protection of God. When you step out, God will protect. When you step out in faith, God will protect. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them. Wouldn't you think that the Egyptians would say, remember the last time we had darkness? Remember the last time in Egypt when we had darkness in the land and Israel were in light? Haven't we seen this before? Haven't we seen the hand of the living God before? We're in big trouble. when they were there at the night time, and it was in darkness for them, but the children of Israel had light. Do you think they weren't reminded of this? God wants you to advance this year. As we step out in faith with Him, He wants you to grow spiritually this year. We have a partnership to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for the partnership that we have. For we are laborers together with God. I'm thankful for that. God wants us to go to another level. I'm giving you a challenge tonight. Don't stop. Keep going forward. Be like the children of Israel. Learn and go forward. So God protects His people as they step out in faith. We are the children of light. We have the answer to the problems for the world. Not monetary problems. Not handouts problems. We have the answer. And it's all found in this book. In Moldova, Noah is an area of high unemployment. We can't help everybody. But we have the answer in this book. Last year they surveyed Romanians. And some 92% of Romanians returned the answer that they believed they were Christians. 92%. Many think, oh, I grew up in an Orthodox family. My family is Orthodox. My grandparents were Orthodox. Then I'm Orthodox. I'm a Christian. They're not saved. They think they have this religion, but religion isn't passed on from generation to generation. They need to make a decision. And we have camp. We have kids from the Orthodox Church come to our camp. Unofficially, not from the Orthodox Church, but from Orthodox families, they come to the camp. We have kids come from many different backgrounds come to the camp. And during that time, when they're at camp, they hear the preaching of the Word of God. And many of these young people from all different walks of life have been saved. And we praise the Lord for that. But we are the children of light. And God wants us to make a difference where we are in Moldova, Noah. He wants us to continue with the Word of God. He wants the church to grow spiritually, for us to grow spiritually, for us to be prepared for when others come, that He will add to the church as He sees fit. That we are prepared to administer to them. And God wants you to grow too, spiritually. We come to church to worship the Lord. We come to church to be prepared for ministry, that we can go out and share our faith with others in our neighborhood where we live. In reality, people say to me, oh, brother, you're in full-time ministry. You know, every one of us here, if you're a Christian, you're in full-time ministry. Is that true? We're to share the faith. Doesn't matter where you work, with your neighbor next door. Wherever you are, God wants you to step out in faith and to share your life with someone. I want to thank you for helping us to reach out to the people of Moldova, Noah, Romania. Earlier this year, I sent Nico over to help a young missionary that's just arrived the year before from America, American missionary. His mother was born in Serbia, so he was able to obtain a Serbian passport. And with his new wife, they arrived in Belgrade in Serbia in April 2011. And when he got over there, he's just learning the language. And he wants to do something for the Lord. He doesn't have all the language done. And he asked, could he borrow Nico for a week? So I sent Nico over to help him in Belgrade, that they could go door knocking. Now, Nico's fluent in Serbian, Romanian, and English, okay? It's pretty good. Okay, that means all the grammar and all the whole works, you know, reading, writing, the whole lot. So we sent him over there, and he went door knocking with this young man called Danny Foss. Okay, Danny Foss, the missionary, would be about 30 years of age. And Nico went over there to help him. And I said to the other young boy, you might have noticed on the presentation, I had a young boy I was about to baptize. His name is Bogdi. He speaks Serbian, Romanian, a little bit of Hungarian, and he's learning English with my wife, okay? So it's embarrassing, isn't it? These guys can speak all these different languages. But we sent him over there to Serbia, and he went door knocking, and three people came forward for salvation. Now, every Sunday afternoon, the man who got saved was about 46 years of age, and his 15-year-old daughter, they're coming for church services at the missionary's house every Sunday, and they're doing discipleship courses. And sometimes you think, Lord, what are you doing? And then we see someone like that getting saved. And we see where they want to come and learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they want to grow in their faith. And now the man that was saved, I can't remember his name, I'm sorry. And when he got saved, he wants to reach others for the Lord Jesus. Can you pray for that? Can you pray for our church to grow this year? Can you pray for safety for us on the roads? You saw some of the conditions there with the ice and the snow. Can you pray for safety for transport for people? It is a very dangerous time of the year. Last year we had, in our area, it was a little bit cooler than normal. We had minus 20 in our area. Normally we're on about the minus 15 or so, but it was a little bit cooler this year, minus 20 in our area. And up in the North Country, they had minus 38. We had about a meter of snow in our area that was lying on the ground, but in the North Country, they had 4 and 5 meters deep. People were trapped in their houses. They had some climbed up into the attic, into the roof space, and pulled the tiles off the roof and stepped out of the roof space directly onto the snow. That's how deep it was. Some old people had to be, the army had to come in and cut holes in the snow so they could reach the doorway where people were trapped in their houses. There was an old man who was trapped in his house for 5 days. No food, no nothing, sitting in the room, and he nearly froze to death. Can you pray for us for safety on the roads? Please, if you would, because it's a very dangerous time of the year. And Pastor was talking about temperatures in the summertime. We've had up to 46. That's a big swing, isn't it? 46 Celsius in the summertime, down to minus, depending on where you are. Well, say minus 15, minus 20 in our area. A little bit soft on our area. And minus 38 out in the middle country, okay? Can you pray for Nico and Danny as they drive to church and they carry people to church? Has anybody got any questions about Romania? Don't be frightened. I'll try and answer your question just for a couple of minutes. It's very hard to say, pour everything out 4 years worth into a few minutes. Okay, through the ministry that we're involved in, I've baptized six people through the church. I had two last year in July of last year, three in July this year, and one girl in 2 weeks before we left. I had five candidates to be baptized in August before we left, but four of them changed their mind, okay? And this one young girl, 14 years of age, she's from an Orthodox family. Her parents give her permission to be baptized. Dad wasn't too wrapped in the idea, but he gave her permission anyway, and her mother and youngest sister came to the baptismal service. So they're very happy. They've seen a change in their daughter, and praise the Lord, because some parents would say, no, you realize that? Would say no, but they give permission, and so six people. It's a long answer, I know, but any other questions? Yes, someone at the back. Okay, we have junior camp, which is age from 7 to 13, and we only usually go for 3 days for the junior camp. With little children trying to keep their attention for 3 days. We have a little program for them. We've got arts and crafts and messages and things, everything for them. We have a little campfire for them at night time and for them to sing and everything like that. But for the senior camp, we run from Monday through to Friday afternoon. So, and sometimes if we have, last year we had 3 days of junior camp. We had 2 days of a mini-conference where Brother Gil Anger brought some messages there for the mini-conference. We finished off an evangelistic service on one of the last night of the mini conference, and then the following week we did senior camp. Senior camp, we don't know how many to expect. Every year, it's different, you see. This year, we had about 80 young people come to senior camp. The year before, I think we had 140. Sorry. I've had up to 180 before, is the most we've had. And if more people arrive, well, we just go into town and we buy some more stuff, okay? We add more stuff to the soup, okay? Or we get some more chicken to do. So the figure is unknown, but we want to minister to people. So we've left the door open. If they come from whatever background they come from, it's okay. We preach the word of God, and God gives the increase, and the camps are free at this current moment. They've been free, and if we still get sponsorship for the camps, we'll still continue to run that for free. Yeah. Any other questions? Don't be frightened. No? Yes, sister? What we do for the junior camp is junior camp up until this year, what we've been doing is we have the building that we have. It's got the next level up on top of it where the roof space is. It's quite high. It's 4.5 meters high and 21 meters long and about 9 meters wide, that area. What we do is we put boys at one end and girls at the other end for junior kids, okay? But for senior camp, girls only upstairs. So girls only upstairs, they bring their mattresses and everything. It's pretty Spartan, okay? We don't have a bathroom. The bathroom's called the river, okay? Okay, so we have time periods, okay? The girls can use the bathroom from 7 o'clock until about 8 o'clock. The girls can use the bathroom. And then after 8 o'clock, the boys can use the bathroom, okay? That's our rules and regulations. Yes? Okay, from where we live is 33 kilometers. Okay, it's a nice drive. It follows the road, follows along beside the Danube, and then we turn off and we go in towards the forest area, about 1.5 kilometers, and that's where the campsite is. It's in a beautiful valley. It's very picturesque there. So you don't like the bathroom? No? Okay. We have no electricity either. Okay. We can't make it too easy. So, and we have pit toilets, okay? So what we do is we normally run generators for electricity. What we're hoping this year, if the Lord will provide for us, we're trying to invent some sort of a generator system. We have a river where the bathroom is. We have a river there, and we're hoping maybe we can dig a little bit of a canal there and make some sort of an area for the water to pass through and turn a generating wheel there, or for wind, or a little bit of solar, and maybe a combination of the lot. The nearest electricity is 1.5 kilometers away, and about 6 years ago I priced, just for the cable, was $10,000 American, just for the cable. And then we'd have to put all the posts in, and then we'd need to get it all wired up and everything like that. So we could be looking at quite a lot of money. And so we're going to try and come up with our own generator. If we can run something on water or wind, yes, we'll have the initial layout, but after that, no electricity bills. So that's what our ideas, our thoughts are at the moment. No other questions? They can use as much water as they like. They've got an R. They can let the water run all they like there, no problem. We don't discriminate, okay? And the boys can use the water after they have an R. They can do whatever they want down there, okay? There's no problem. This camp has been running for 14 years, and the kids come there. They're very thankful to come to camp. They come there, they have a great time, people get saved, they listen to the Word of God, and they're very thankful for it. You know, sometimes we think, oh, we don't have all the conditions. be nice to have a few nice conditions there, like toilets and things like that. That'd be great. But at the moment, it hasn't deterred the work there, okay? We'll get a bit more luxurious later on, okay? But at the moment, there's no real problem. Is that it? Okay, thank you very much for listening. It's a bit hard to put, like I say, 4 years worth and do a quick report for you. But thank you for your faithfulness here. And the Lord will reward. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.